So a few years ago, I worked with a large tourism company. We wanted to know what makes people happiest on vacation and when are they happiest. So we went to resorts and we surveyed people. The first thing we looked at is when are people happiest? So you want to guess who thinks people are happiest on the first day? Okay, we got two free. Second day? Quite a float. Third day? Fourth day? Fifth day? Okay, you guys are good. What we found is...
That's Dr. Tali Sharrett. And this is the Depression Detox Show. And welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for vibing with me today as we have neuroscientist and professor Tali Sharrett making her first appearance on the show to teach us the most effective way to disrupt our normal, mundane, day-to-day routines so that we can live happier and more fulfilling lives. Here's Dr. Tali Sharrett. Enjoy.
We all have some good things in our life. Perhaps it's a loving relationship, an interesting job, or a comfortable home. But those things seem to have relatively limited impact on our daily happiness. And on the same end, there are some horrible things around us, perhaps sexism, racism, cracks in our personal relationships, inefficiencies at the workplace. But over time, we just get used to those things. We stop noticing them, and if we stop noticing them, we don't try to change. So today I'm going to share with you what we've learned about why this happens and what can we do to regain sensitivity, both to the good things in life so we can feel the joy again, but also to the bad things so we could notice and change. But first, let's start with a little exercise. So imagine the best day of your life. Try to really imagine where you are, who you're with, what you're doing. It doesn't have to be the very, very best day. It could be just a really good day. Try to imagine it with vividness and detail. So for me, a good day may be something like this. And I assume I'll be quite happy. Now imagine you wake up the next day and you experience the exact same day. The same experiences in the same order with the same people, you eat the same meals. And then you wake up the next day and you experience the same day. And you wake up the next day and you got it. It is Groundhog Day. What will happen is that the best day of your life will become mundane and boring. And in fact, we have some data to support this. So a few years ago, I worked with a large tourism company. We wanted to know what makes people happiest on vacation and when are they happiest. So we went to resorts and we surveyed people. The first thing we looked at is when are people happiest? So you want to guess who thinks people are happiest on the first day? Okay, we got two free. Second day? Quite a float. Third day? Fourth day? Fifth day? Okay, you guys are good. What we found is that people were happiest 43 hours into their vacation. 43 hours gave them the time to settle in and focus on the fun. But from that point on, joy started dwindling. Now, don't get me wrong, they were still happy on day 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, but not as much as they were on day 2. And we also asked them, hey, what was the best bit of your vacation? And there's one word that they used more than any other word, and it was the word first. The first view of the ocean, the first cocktail, the first time I built the sandcastle. Firsts were new and exciting. Now, the second view of the ocean was quite good, but it wasn't good as a first. The second cocktail, the third cocktail, even the fifth cocktail was quite good, but it wasn't good as that first cocktail. So the question is why? And the answer has a lot to do with habituation. So habituation is our tendency to respond less and less and less to things that are constant or that are frequent or change very, very gradually. So we have a diminishing physiological and emotional response to frequently repeated or constant stimuli. We just stop responding to those. So for example, imagine that you buy a new perfume and you spritz it on, and the smell is quite salient. And then you spritz it on the second day, maybe not as salient, and the third day, less so, and months goes by, and you can't even detect the scent any longer. Or imagine you walk into a room filled with cigarette smoke. Studies show that when you first enter, the smell can be quite overwhelming, but within 20 minutes, you actually cannot detect the smoke any longer. Or you have the AC in the background, and you don't even notice that continuous noise. So why is that? Well, neurons in our brain, they respond quite strongly to anything that is new, a new smell, a new noise, the temperature of the pool when you jump in. The neurons fire, telling the other neurons, hey, there's something going on here. They spread the information. So for example, an olfactory neuron may tell a motor neuron that there is a funny smell here and we might want to move away. But after a while, if nothing changes in the environment, the neuron just stops responding. And if it doesn't stop on its own, there is inhibitory neurons that will tell that neuron, okay, quiet down, we've heard you already. And just as we stop responding to a smell or a sound, we also stop responding to the view of the ocean or to more complex events in our life and in society, such as a new love or a promotion. So the question is this habituation a good thing or is it a bad thing? And the answer is yes. So on the positive side, habituation ensures that we are motivated, right? If you think back to your first entry-level job, you probably were quite excited and happy about this entry-level job. But what would happen if you continue being as excited and as happy about this entry-level job 10 years in? You wouldn't be motivated to go after the next job, right? To go after that promotion. So habituation ensures that we progress, that we want to move forward. It is also important for our survival. We stop responding to things that are constant around us so we can have more resources to respond to new things that are coming our way that may need some response, some action. And finally, we know that problems in habituation are related to a whole range of mental health problems. Let me give you one example. Aaron Heller from the University of Miami showed that people who habituate to negative events slower tend to have depression symptoms. What he did, he asked students who just got their grade on a really important exam how they were feeling. And then he asked them again how they were feeling every 45 minutes for the rest of the day. What he found was that people who got a bad grade, they all felt really bad. It didn't matter if they had a history of depression or they did not. Everyone felt bad to the same extent. The difference was how fast people bounced back. People with depression or a history of depression, they tended to bounce back much slower. They kept ruminating on that bad grade. While people without a history of depression, they bounced back quite fast. However, on the other hand, habituation also means that we don't feel the joy of the good things around us because they've always been there, and we don't feel the gratitude. And on the other hand, we stop noticing the suboptimal things around us, which we could perhaps change. So the challenge really is, how do we regain sensitivity, both to the good things and to the bad things? How can we dishabituate? So let's start with dishabituating to the good. And really the key here is this wonderful quote by the economist Tibor Skitovsky. He says, pleasure results from incomplete and intermittent satisfaction of desires. This is so good, I'm going to repeat it. Pleasure results from incomplete and intermittent satisfaction of desires. To show you what he means, let me tell you about this really interesting experiment. So think about a song that you really like. My question for you is, would you rather listen to this song from beginning to end, no interruptions, or would you rather have breaks in the song? Every 20 seconds or so, there'll be a small break. Who wants no interruptions? Okay, who would like a break? Pretty much no one. So your opinion is the same as the people who were surveyed. 99% of the individuals said, I don't want any breaks. I want to listen to the song from beginning to end. However, when the experiment was done, to the surprise of everyone, those individuals who listened to the song with breaks actually enjoyed it more, and they were willing to pay double to listen to the music in concert. Why is that? Well, if we listen to the music from beginning to end, no interruptions, the joy is quite high, the pleasure is high at the beginning, but like those vacations, it starts dwindling over time. But if you have a break, what happens is that you dishabituate, and every time the song comes back on, you jump back, your joy jumps back. So overall, you experience more pleasure with breaks. So we may want to think about breaking up the good experiences into bits. In the same study, they also showed that people who had a massage with breaks enjoyed it more than people who had the massage without interruptions. Or we might think about having more frequent holidays, vacations, but shorter ones, rather than having a long one in order to experience more of those 43-hour peaks, right? More of those firsts. And we might also think about breaking up just our regular life. It is often the case when people leave their regular environment, their home for a while, perhaps for a business trip for a week or so, and then they come back, they find that their regular environment has resparkled. They can see their home life in fresh eyes. There is this wonderful quote from Jodie Foster when she talks about how she was on location for 6 months, and then she came back home. And this is what happened when she got back home. She says, I came back from somewhere that is amazing and beautiful, but you know, you long for really dumb things that you've just used to. That 6 months ago, I'm sure I was bored by, but right now I'm like, my God, avocados are amazing. Or, I'm so glad I get to go to the gym again. Things that 6 months ago were sort of what I was trying to escape from, now everything is amazing. So, of course, Jodie Foster is not your average human being, and her experiences are not those of the average human being, but I think in this case, her insight actually reflects a fundamental feature of the regular average human experience, which is when we break away and we come back, we can see things differently. So we might want to think about breaking up the good things into bits. However, if we need to complete an unpleasant task like household chores or admin work, we actually want to do them in one go, not have breaks. Because if we have them in one go, then the habituation to the negative will actually help us motor through. So we want to swallow the bad whole, but break up the good things into bits in order to enhance pleasure.
Big thanks to Dr. Tali Sharrett for stopping by. Unfortunately, I really couldn't find any ways to connect with her aside from recommending her latest book, which is entitled Look Again, The Power of Noticing What Was Always There. And hopefully the next time we have her on the show, I can find some ways for you to connect with her and her work. All right. If you'd like to watch the entire talk, you can go to YouTube and type in Tali Sharrett, Look Again, The Power of Noticing What Was Always There, Talks at Google. And I'll have links to both her book and the talk that will both be in the show description below, so you can go and check that out. All right, that is a wrap for me. As always, I appreciate you. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope you have a beautiful weekend ahead, and I'll see you back here Monday. So, until then, stay strong. Later.